Psalm 61, as you know, is a psalm written by David, and David, the great psalmist, he's writing, once again, beautifully put, but notice what he says there in 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Again, a wonderful psalm written here and given by David. And one area that really sticks out to me, and I've preached this message before, and I thought it was fitting maybe for to you, maybe today, I don't know, for me especially, but when my heart is overwhelmed, you ever feel that way? You're overwhelmed. You have maybe things you're going through, and for you it may be when it rains, it pours, you know, maybe not for you, but you think about your heart is overwhelmed. You think about David and David's background here, and he gives really two ways we can handle any situation or the situation that presented to us, and that's we can be overwhelmed or we can overcome. And you remember what Jesus said. Jesus said what? I've overcome the world, so you can too. You can overcome, and we are to be overcoming people. And we think about it. Are you today overwhelmed or are you overcoming in your life? You think about it. We have many instances in life, many opportunities that come our way on a daily basis that may overwhelm us, and we can come back and say, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And that's the prayer that you ought to have and I ought to have. And we think about this. David said, lead me, help me, hear my cry, attend unto my prayer. Now, as we think about this morning, we see several areas that I hope will be a help to you. But as you're overwhelmed, maybe in your life, situations, everything in David's life, as you know, many things at this point in his life, was overwhelming. I mean, he started out as the great king, as the great young shepherd boy that had the heart of God, didn't he? And he went forward and he was the victor of Israel. He was the one that stood and represented Israel. And then he came and had many, many problems, didn't he? He had his issues with Bathsheba. He went on and his children grew up and his children became a great burden to David. Their sinful behavior, their sinful lives, and it's a shame, it's a real shame that children, because of their sin, are a burden to parents, aren't they? It's just a shame. And I think about that, just a shame. You think about so many people, so much that people could do for God and they don't do it. But David, his life, many ways, was a burden and he was struggled and he was distressed. But we know what he says in the Psalms. He says, boy, God is in control. Hear my cry, O God. I still believe, I still trust in God. That's the kind of person that we ought to be. You know that. He was an overcomer, overcoming in his life. Now you think about this. God, you know, allows, as we talked about on Wednesday night, allows us to be overwhelmed from time to time, so that why? We may look back to him that's higher than I, doesn't he? We often, if we're not ever, don't have any issues, don't have any problems, everything's fine, what do? We often will put it in neutral, kind of coast a little bit. We don't spend as much time, if you're like me, don't spend as much time with the Lord. We don't seek God. I don't cry out to God. I don't cry out and say, Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Be the shelter unto me. But he allow us to get into that position. You know, David got to that position. As he stood there in the really his fortress, and he cried out and he said, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. His son had just been killed. His son had just been murdered. His other son has been killed. His daughter has been taken advantage of. It's just a mess, wasn't it? And he cried out. And he thought about those things. You and I as human beings, we have a natural tendency to flow away from depending on God. We depend upon self. We depend upon sometimes our greatest ally, which is self, our greatest help, which is self. And God says, I want you to come back. Rely upon me. Are you there today? What is it? Are you overwhelmed? Are you feeling the pressures of life or something of that nature? The Lord gave us a great example, you know. He says this. There's a God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4, but we can overcome. We can be what we're supposed to be. We can trust that, as we saw even on Wednesday night. We take things that come our way and we give them to God. And let me say here in point really number one, we do this by, as I point out, it's the faith we live for. Notice this: hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. There's a faith that's put into God Almighty. You think about this. He's overwhelmed. We often wander away from God. It's a natural use for us. He's a shelter. He's a strong tower. John 16:33, Jesus, you know, said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You're going to have stress and distress and problems and issues and all of that, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It puts the emphasis back on Christ. Where are you looking? What are you trusting? Where are you going to find your joy and peace and comfort? A promise. You know, again, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you, such as is common to man. God is faithful. He's faithful, not suffering to be tempted, but will, which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You have a loving, gracious God. God knows how much you can handle. He knows how much you can bear. And we know all of that. So again, coming back to you, God's not going to allow you to be overwhelmed to the point of complete destruction, unless you are living in a sinful way. You know that. And sometimes most people will self-destruct because of that sin. But if you're living for God, you know, He won't allow you to be overwhelmed past the point of what you can handle. You know that. So He says, when I am overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. It's the faith. We have faith in God. 1 John 4:4, He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is he that overcometh the world? Chapter 5, verse 5. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Belief in Jesus Christ and who He is. That's who overcomes the world. People that live for God, trust God, believe who Jesus is. Who do you believe? We talked about that many months ago. About, He says, who or whom do the people say that I am? And the people said what? Well, some say you're Elias. Some say you're what? Who? They go on. He says, no, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say? And Peter says, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah. You are who you said you were. Think about this. They left a good report of faith. You know, Hebrews 11:39, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, faith is our victory. We sang that today. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world, right? We think about that. And I don't know where you're at today, but I want to encourage you to come back to the God, to come back to the rock that's higher than I, the faith that we live for. Do you have faith in God? You say, absolutely, of course. I'm here today. I'm loving Him. I'm serving Him. Of course. But do you trust Him? Look to Him. Do you understand the situation you're in by way of looking at that and seeing that? You shine the brightest. You know that when you're in the fire, don't you? You shine the brightest. When you have issues going and problems. And I thought about this week, that I'm glad things are happening in our lives and in our church and in all these things, right? Because if everything was going good, man, I get nervous. You know, something's about to happen, you know? Something's about to go down, you know? But you shine the brightest when you're in that fire. Compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, people that have gone on before us, people for some reason they pay close attention to every detail of your life when you're going through something that they're not going through. When you're going through something, they pay close attention. It's interesting. So whatever comes our way, we know God is in control. We trust Him by trusting the God of our circumstances. Number two, notice verse 4. I will abide, notice, in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing. What's he saying? He's not asking God to change the circumstances. You know, often I pray that, and it's not right. Lord, take this away and add this and do this and change the circumstances. That's not right. He doesn't pray that. What does he pray? Lord, I trust in the shelter. I trust in the strong tower. I abide in thy tabernacle. I trust in the covert of thy wings, the covering of thy wings. Right. We don't know yet, but our president-elect last night, did you watch his speech? He mentioned a hymn that he liked, but the part of it is, we will rise on thy wings or something. We'll rise up on thy wings. I don't know exactly what he was trying to emphasize there, but we think about people want often to have their circumstances changed instead of asking God, help me to overcome this. By why? How? Trusting in you, trusting the God of our circumstances. As we think about this, he goes on, you know that. You'll have In me you'll have peace, he says, in the world tribulation. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Not just a conqueror. We're more than that. Notice, a conqueror, he conquers and then he's done. I'm over. I've done it. I've overcome. No, for the Christian, things habitually happen. They come. Well, it's not, oh, my problems are gone in 2020. Thank God. It's all over with. No, you know 2021's coming and more problems are coming. We're more than conquerors in that. We have a state of being, a mindset. As Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. God's working when you can't see. He's working. Elijah, you remember, he was in the cave and he was in a very bad situation. He was depressed. He was a little bit down, as I would be in that circumstance. And God said, come out and stand. Stand. He stood out there and he went through the whole thing, you know. And he was in the still small voice. And Elijah was in that way. He's getting Elijah to see and say, who am I? Who is God? God is who he said he is. God's working, as you know. Elijah said, oh, there's no one left. It's just me. God says, in fact, no. I have many, many that have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's many people. These people are working. God is at work. Circumstances do not dictate my attitude. They're not going to do it. Situations do not dictate my spirit. They're not going to do it. They're not going to change that. And you think about it. And we see here, the more things we have, the more blessings we get. Isn't it seem like that? The more nitpicky we get, right? I mean, 130 years ago, people were walking to church. And today we drive to church and the temperature in the car is not right. You know, oh, I got to stop here. I got to go this route again. I got, you know, all these things. The more we have, if you're like me, the more nitpicky we get. And we think about the circumstances aren't going to dictate. David said, I will not allow these things to overcome me. When I am overwhelmed, then Lord, lead me. Lead me. And God is in the business for a Christian constantly leading us back to Him. You and I drift. Well, I'm super spiritual. No, we drift. We naturally have to take care of responsibilities and things every day, which take us away from the Bible. Take us away from prayer. Take us away from being, in a lot of ways, right with Him in some ways. And He's in the business of constantly pulling us back. Come on back, Tim. You're not where you should be. Come on back. You didn't spend proper time with me. Come on back. He's allowing those things. He says, lead me, help me, guide me. If God is able to deliver you, He can deliver you through what you're going through now. God is able to. He's able to. And certain things will come our way. You ever heard the analogy? I liked it. I heard it recently. You can take... And you take all the ingredients to make your favorite kind of cake. I don't know what kind it was. Favorite cake. You take all those ingredients. You eat those ingredients by themselves. It's nasty. You're not going to take a handful of flour and eat it. You might. I don't know. You're not going to take a raw egg and eat it. You're not going to take those things. But you put them all together, mix it up, put that thing in the oven. That thing's wonderful, isn't it? And you think about circumstances come our way. Oh, that stinks. And that's, I don't want to deal with though. You let God work because God is doing something. He's stirring it up a little bit. He's stirring the pot up a little bit. He's adding these ingredients to our lives because why? I shall come forth as what? Gold. I shall come forth. And God is at work in your life. Don't forget that. God is working. David knew this. David knew that. David knew that God was at work. He knew that God was working and trusting Him. Psalm 62, he says there in verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, for from Him cometh what? My salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Truly, he's waiting on God. I know God's in control. I know God's at work. I know that He's moving amongst me and in the midst of my life and my family. We know these things. Jude 24, he says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Notice that. We're presented to Christ with exceeding joy. It's not this, well, I guess I have to. Well, I went through a lot. Well, I guess I'll just go another Sunday. With exceeding joy. Notice that. We're presented to Him with exceeding joy. And we think about this. God is trying to bring out the very best in all of us. All of us. And we trust that and we know that. Now we see here, as we look at this, God did not intend for us to carry this burden. God did not intend for us to carry all of this load for and by ourselves as we think about this. Now, let me say thirdly here, we overcome by then righteous living. Notice verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, his years many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth that may preserve him. Notice that, by righteous living. Mercy and truth preserve him. How do we overcome? We're living in a way we shouldn't be. You know that. Romans 12:21, be not overcome with evil. Overcome what? evil with good. We overcome evil with good. We overcome these things. And I thank you for listening so well today. We think about 2 Peter 2:9. He says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, God will do all the sorting. Don't worry about that. Well, they're not getting what they deserve. God will sort it all out. And we know that. He's preserved those. We know He'll deliver the godly out of temptation. He'll reserve the unjust to the day of judgment. God will take care of it. He's in control. People are up in arms today about what's happening in the United States with our presidency and everything, the election and all of that. Again, we know God's in control. We trust Him in that. And don't let your heart be overwhelmed with those things. Trust God in that. You know, you did your part. Now trust the Lord and trust Him. And we think about this. Let God be God. Let Him be God. We think about. Now thinking about some of these things, just a couple examples, and thank you for bearing with me today. Thank you for listening. And haven't been sleeping very well, so I'm a little tired. But I thought about the prodigal son, and prodigal son came back. It wasn't until he came out of his sinful state, his sinful ways, that he overcame. He overcame his situation and his circumstances. So many people, and I say that to say so many people try to overcome and be overcomers living the way they're living. And God says, no, I'm allowing this in your life so that you can come out of that, if you will. It's not a feel-good message of wealth and health where you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I give my burdens to you, take everything away, but I will keep my lifestyle. There must be a conscious decision to turn to God from your ways. When you're living right, problems will arise. You notice that? And people say, well, it's too hard to live for God. No, it's too hard to live in the world. See, the adversary tries to blind us, doesn't he? And deceive us that we could have our lives in the world were much easier. You don't have to have all these rules and regulations and all this stuff. No. When you lived in the world, you were down, trodden, depressed, angry, frustrated, all kinds of problems. You live right, though, problems still arise. You trust in the confidence. Notice the covert of thy wing. We think about now, David's progression as he engaged these principles, I like this. He starts with a searching, he goes to a submission, and then he ends up on a staying, if you will. He was put. He searched. Lord, I search. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. He submitted his heart to him, and then he stayed upon the rock. That's something I want to encourage you with. Search for God. I'm searching for what you want me to do. Problems, you say, Lord, what? Every time a problem or issue comes, you always come to Christ and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because obviously, you've allowed this for a reason. You've allowed this for some reason in my life. And what do you want me to do? Am I not where I'm supposed to be? Okay, I am where I'm supposed to be. Okay, well then what am I supposed to be doing? What am I missing here? What are you trying to do and align me? He's searching. Then he submits his heart to God. He says, Lord, I submit myself to you, doesn't he? Submitting, giving our lives. As I've said before, the greatest relationships are relationships of submission. And we think about that. And then he stays. He says, Lord, I'm going to stay. He shall abide. Abide forever. I will abide, verse 4. He shall abide, verse 7. Notice that, a stay. One of the worst things we can do in a circumstance that we don't like or agree with or makes us uncomfortable is to move. And I don't mean move physically, geographically. I mean, we move, we do stuff, we make decisions. Don't do that. Well, I'm just going to go do that. I think I'll just do this and I'll do that. No, we don't do that. We trust, we stay. Stay put and wait for God to move. Wait for God to direct you. Now, let me hasten here. We think about the world doesn't necessarily apply certain things, as we know, obviously, to what we're saying today. They're looking for ways to overtake. They're looking for ways to promote self. Our overcoming starts when we submit and we come under Him. To overcome, you come under. To overcome your situation, you come under Christ. You come under the authority of the Bible. You come under the authority, a lot of ways, of the church. You come under. You trust that. This overcoming ability can only be attained by faith. By faith, as we see here. Wanted to mention a verse. Oh, here it is, Psalm 139. 139, he speaks of this again. We need not be overwhelmed. We overcome. Doesn't matter where we are. God is everywhere. You know that. He says, where shall I go? Shall I go down? Shall I go up? Shall I go west or east? Shall I go into hell? Go to heaven? Wherever. He says, you're with me, aren't you? Wherever I am, God, you're there. You're already there. You're already there. So it doesn't matter, you righteous living, following Him, trusting the God of our circumstances, as we see. And so we think about, understand, God is at work. God did not intend you to carry this by yourself. He says in Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Never. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares for you. He doesn't want us to cast our burdens upon him and it irritates him and bothers him. Oh, good night. Tim's got another burden to give me. Well, I guess I'll take it. No. He says, give it to me. Why? Because I care for you. One of the things that I think is sticks out, I heard an author of a book recently say that. He said one thing that got me was, when I first got saved, was God didn't just love me. God actually likes me. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I know my parents love me, but they don't really like me. Or I know that my friends love me, but they don't really like who I am. One thing about that is that God likes you. God enjoys being with you. With all your faults and all your failures and all your flaws in your personality, he says, I still like you. I want to be with you. I want to be with and encourage you and help you grow and develop and especially overcome. Matthew 11:28, you know that. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. I want to help you. I want to guide you. So often we fail in doing that, don't we? We're frustrated, discouraged, burdened, stressed, all of that. We don't come to God. We try and figure it out on our own. We try and figure it out. What do I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? No, God says, maybe sometime just wait. Trust me. Spend time and wait on God and cast thy burden upon him and let him work. Let him work. I love the song. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, shadow, sunshine, or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all my worry is vain. I'm living by faith. All my worry is as we think about it, as we see here, he wants to carry your load, your burden. He wants to help you. You're a shelter, he says. You've heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. He shall abide before God forever. God will keep you. You will stay put when you abide. You sing praise unto him, he says. Verse 8, that I may daily perform my vows. Notice David, lastly here, is looking ahead to how he can continue to perform his vows, continue to be faithful, continue to trust God, continue to look to him, continue to be faithful. Not how God can help him and what God can do for him tomorrow and God can, no, it's God, what can I do for you? How can I keep faithful? How can I keep my testimony to you? How can I stay faithful to you? That's David's prayer. David's heart was, what could I do for you? Often pray, Lord, what can you do for me? How can you help me here? When you're overwhelmed, can I encourage you with that? Lord, don't say, Lord, help me get out of this. What can I do in that regard? How can you help me, God? Say, Lord, what could I do? How could I be a better servant, witness, friend? What could I do? How could I be a blessing to you, Lord, in a way? How could I? And so today I'd encourage you with, thought about this story here. Just by way of ending, a man set out on a journey across his country with the goal in mind, trek across the country on foot. He only took what was necessary, knowing that anything more would overload him and he would not be able to finish. As he packed up and get ready to head out the door, his father gave him some parting words, which at the time seemed unusual. He said, if you get too overloaded with stuff, son, and feel you can't finish, just remember that you only need what's necessary. And with that, off he went. As he began, things were going well on his journey, but as he reached each little town and city, he would find something that caught his eye, and he felt he just had to have it. So with that, he would buy it, pack it in his case, to the one day he would take it back home with him. Soon, though, he found himself suddenly overloaded with far too many unnecessary things. He thought to himself, I can't handle this anymore. What was I thinking? It's just not gonna happen. I can't finish this. I won't trek across the country like I thought. Just then the words of his father echoed in his ears. He suddenly began to unload all of the unnecessary things he had picked up along his journey. With haste, he began to throw everything out. Now at the end, he had what needed to finish the course. That which was needed and only that. I like that. Only that. And we pick up things on our journey. Oh, I want that, this and that, burden, frustration, all these things, and we give it to the Lord. Lord, what's necessary? What do I need? He says, only this, only this. Finish your journey. How will we do it? David, we know, finished his journey strong. He finished out. Not how he wanted, obviously. He had some problems. He had some issues, to say the least. And he himself said that. But he passed the baton on to Solomon, didn't he? He said, son, here. As we know, and we've already studied, David prepared all the material needed for Solomon to build the great things that he did, the great things that he did. Today, are you overwhelmed? I want to encourage you with that. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Come back to God. That's all you need. That's all you need. And we trust in him. All right, I'll stop there this morning. Thank you for listening and being faithful to the Lord. And hopefully, Lord willing, again, as we say, we'll see you back here this evening. And I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. All right? Okay, let's pray, Lord. Thank you again. And just pray for your help today. Because, Lord, often we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we can't keep going. Father, we ask that you give us the strength to go to the rock that's higher than I, that we would trust in you, the covert of thy wings. You're here to bear and want to bear our burdens, Lord. You want us to come to you, not meaning that, Lord, we'll have no problems or issues, but, Lord, that we would time and time again come back to you and trust you and rely upon you. I pray for your help, Lord. I pray for your strength, please, and your wisdom. Help us this afternoon. Give us your wisdom there and discernment, please. And then tonight, bring us back if you'd allow us, Lord. We love and thank you for another opportunity to minister and be here today in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name again, we do pray, and amen. Amen. Thank you.